All right, here's our text for today. I've got a text. I've got a scripture verse that I'm going to begin with. Hebrews 8, verse 1. We've read portions of three chapters already of Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. And here in chapter 8, verse 1, he said, "Now the things which we've spoken." This is the psalm. This is the sum and substance of all that I've said. We have such a high priest. We have a high priest. We're not national Israel, but we have a high priest. We're not Greek Orthodox, a denomination today which has priests. We're not Roman Catholics, another denomination which have acting, officiating priest. But we have a priest. We have a priest. We have a great high priest. And Paul declares this over and over again. We have a high priest. Let me show you some scripture. Turn to Hebrews 3, verse 1. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." We have a profession of faith. We believe God. We have a high priest who's the great high priest of our profession. Hebrews 4, verse 14. I read this a little while ago. "Seeing then we have a great high priest." And then verse 1, chapter 8, "We have a high priest." And chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. Let's do something about this now. We have a high priest. Somebody's going to have to preach on it in this generation. You can talk about phony priests and all that, fine. But we have a high priest. Look at Hebrews 9, verse 11. "Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands." That is to say, not of this building or any building down here. "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." We have a priest. And here are five things about him. He's a man. He is a man, born of a woman, born under the law. A man of flesh and blood. Flesh and bones. We have a high priest. He's a man. Secondly, he represents us unto God. Called a mediator between God and us. There's one God, one mediator between, or with God, between God and men. He represents us to God. He represents God to us. Thirdly, he ministers daily. He ministers in the Holy of Holies. That Old Testament priest that went into the Holy of Holies, he's a picture of Christ right now, who ministers not in the holy place made with hands and carried about on the shoulders of the Israelites, but in heaven itself. And our high priest has a sacrifice. It's blood. Not the blood of an animal, a bull or a goat, but his own blood. But he has a sacrifice. And he prays for us. And he has the power to forgive sins. And nobody down here has that power. But our priest does. He can absolve all your sins. Absolution. Absolute absolution. He has the power to forgive sins. That's something. Now, Aaron and his sons, turn to Hebrews 5, what I read a while ago. Aaron and his sons are pictures of Christ, our priest. Patterns and pictures. He says here in Hebrews 5, I read it carefully. Verse 1, "Every high priest taken from among men," that's Aaron and the sons of Levi, things pertaining to God. All right. And verse 4, "No man takes this office upon himself, that he is called of God, even our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't glorify himself to be made a high priest. Well, who made him our high priest? The one who said to him in verse 5, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." And when he came to the earth, this is what he said: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord God hath anointed me." He hath anointed me. God made him our priest. "He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set the prisoner free, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." He commissioned me and anointed me. And in verse 6, listen to this. Verse Hebrews 5:6. "And he saith in another place," I'm going to show you, he says it in 8 places. 8 places. "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now, the Old Testament priests, God made them the priests. God anointed them. There were many of them. Their business was temporary. They lived and died, and somebody took their place. And Christ himself is our great high priest, but he didn't take that office upon himself. God gave it to him, anointed him. And 8 times God says he's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now let me show you that in the scripture. Let's turn. Hebrews 5:6 is the first one. Look at Hebrews 5:9. Hebrews 5:9. "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." That's twice. All right, Hebrews 6, verse 20. Talking about within the veil, whither the forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's 3 times. All right. Hebrews 7:11. "If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood," for under that Levitical priesthood, the people received the law. If that's the way perfection or salvation comes, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron? Another priest? A priest forever? After the order of Melchizedek. 4 times. All right, 5. Hebrews 7:15. "It is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, another priest arises." Melchizedek, and that's 5 times that God says he's another priest arises, anointed of God, after the order of Melchizedek. All right, Hebrews 7:21. "Those priests were made without an oath, but this priest with an oath by God, who said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." 7 times. Now the 8th time. Back in the Old Testament. David writing about Christ. In Psalm 110, let's turn over there, in the Old Testament. This is an eternal truth, who Christ is, our great high priest. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord God, said to my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father said to the Son, Sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing to believe, to receive, to rejoice, to walk in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. For thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." We have a high priest. God made him our priest. He's a priest forever. Not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. Who is Melchizedek? All right, he appears one time in the Scripture. Genesis 14. Genesis 14. He came here. One time, as Melchizedek. He came many times as the angel of the Lord. He came as Jesus of Nazareth. This Melchizedek. All right. The kings, the pagan kings, had swept down on Sodom and Gomorrah and took everybody captive. Lot was down there, Abraham's nephew. Took him, took them all. And in Genesis 14, verse 11. And these wicked kings took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way, and they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son. Makes him his nephew, doesn't it? Who dwelt in Sodom. Took him and his goods and family, departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abraham, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Aner, and these were confederates with Abraham. They were friends of his. When Abraham heard that his brother, that is, his nephew, was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house. Abraham was a powerful man, a wealthy man, a well-known man. He had 318 servants. He armed them and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and he smote them and pursued them unto Hobath, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And Abraham brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot with his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveth, which is in the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought bread and wine. He was a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him. He blessed Abraham. He said, "Blessed be Abraham, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hands." And he gave him tithes of all. And then he left. And then over here in Hebrews 7, Paul wrote more about him. He identified him with a little more information in Hebrews 7. But all that he said, it Moses wrote about him in Genesis, he came, priest of the Most High God, king of Salem, with bread and wine, and he blessed Abraham. And he departed. But now in Hebrews 7, verse 1, this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, after that also king of Salem, king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, pedigree, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest forever. Now consider how great this man was, this Melchizedek. We have a high priest, and he's not of the tribe of Levi. He's not a descendant of Aaron. He's not one of those Old Testament priests in their lineage. He's a priest forever. After this Melchizedek that met Abraham and blessed him and gave him bread and wine. Do you know who this is? Melchizedek, it's Christ. It's Christ himself who came to Abraham. And I'll give you five reasons why I know it's Christ. You listen to these now. First, his office. The Lord said he's king of righteousness, of Salem, which is peace. And he's the priest of the Most High God. He had two offices no man ever held. except Christ. King and priest. Is that right? That's right. No man ever had. Has to be Christ. Secondly, what was his offering? Bread and wine. Bread and wine before the cross? Every high priest brought blood, a lamb, a sacrifice, except one. And that's who shed his blood, and then before his disciples, broke the bread and the wine. Said, this is my body. This is my blood. Thirdly, Melchizedek is said to be better than Abraham because the less is blessed by the greater. No human priest ever said he was better than other men. He's not better than the men whom he represents, the natural priest, but Christ is. He's better than the angels. He's better than Moses. He's better than Aaron. He's better than all of them. And he's the only one of whom he can say, he's better. This can't be a man, because a man's not better than another man. Well, fourthly, it says of him, he lives. Look at verse 8, talking about verse 7 and 8. And without contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes. There he receives them of whom it is witnesses. He liveth. He liveth. There's only one person of whom it says he liveth. Christ said, I am he. I was alive. I was dead. But he liveth. He was dead, but he liveth. He liveth. And fifthly, he's a high priest forever. Forever can only be identified with God. Time, we're creatures of time. But God is forever. Both ways. So we have a high priest. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's before Moses. He's before the law and the sacrifices. He's before the tabernacle. He's before the priesthood of Aaron. He's a priest forever. And one of the old writers has written a song, a hymn about him, about our Melchizedek. King of Salem, bless my soul. Make this wounded sinner whole. King of righteousness and peace, let not thy mercies ever cease. Come, refresh this soul of mine with that sacred bread and wine. All thy love to me unfold, half of which could never be told. Hail Melchizedek! I don't mind saying that at all. Hail Melchizedek! I know who he is. Hail Melchizedek, all divine, great high priest, Abraham's and mine. All my being before him falls. Don't just take my tithes. Take my all. That's our Melchizedek. We have a high priest. All right, let's look at the importance of the high priest. In Hebrews 9, the importance of the high priest. Hebrews 9, verse 6. I'm talking about the importance of the high priest. Hebrews 9, let's look at verse 1. Then verily the first covenant, now we're talking about the Old Testament, that Mosaic economy. The Old Testament, the first covenant, the word covenant is testament. So the first testament covenant had ordinances of divine service, had a worldly sanctuary. There was a tabernacle made. In the first part of the tabernacle was the holy place with the candlestick, the table, the showbread. That's called the sanctuary. And then the veil. And after that veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. It had the golden censer. It had the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the law, the tables, two tables of the law that God gave to Moses. And over that mercy seat was the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat of which we can't now speak particularly. But when these things were ordained, when these pictures and patterns were in effect before Christ came, the priest, plural, lots of them, went always into the first tabernacle, the first part of that sanctuary, where was the bread and the incense and the candlesticks, doing the services of God. But into the second, into the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat covered the law, the high priest went, the high priest alone, once a year, on the Day of Atonement, not without blood, which he offered for himself, for the sins of the people. And that was the necessity of the high priest. Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, he went there under the veil with the incense, the prayers of Christ, and with hyssop dipped in the blood, he sprinkled it on the mercy seat, covered the broken law, held back the wrath and judgment of God. Now look at verse 11. But Christ, being come, our Melchizedek, a high priest of good things to come, all of the blessings of God, forgiveness, justification, mercy, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not this tabernacle made of badger skin and sheep skin and goat skin dyed red, not this tabernacle, but that true tabernacle we're going to talk about tonight, his own body. Not made with hands, that is to say, not this building, and neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, Christ our Lord entered, not once a year, but once, into the holy place. And what was the results of it? He obtained eternal forgiveness, eternal perfection, eternal redemption. For whom? For us. If the blood of bulls and goats back down in the days of Moses and Aaron, the ashes of a heifer sprinkled in the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, if that held back the judgment of God, think how much more shall the blood of his Son, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your consciences from serving dead works to serving the living God. What I'm saying and what Paul said, Israel had to have a priest. There was a king that tried to take the place of the priest, and God killed him. His name was Uzziah. He went into that holy place, and God turned him into a leper, and he died. King Saul tried to do that. King Saul, the prophet and priest of God, was not there, and so Saul offered a sacrifice. And when Samuel came, he said, "What's this? I understand you've offered a sacrifice." And Saul said, "Well, you weren't here, and we were going into battle, and so I offered a sacrifice to God." He said, "To obey is better than sacrifice. You don't do this." And God took him away. So it's always, you just, back in the old, they had to have that Old Testament high priest and the blood atonement, which was the blood of animals. And Christ is one mediator between God and men, one intercessor, one high priest, and that's Christ. And it's his blood. That's not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood he entered once. Now look at Hebrews 10, verse 11. Hebrews 10, and every priest, all these fellows, there were many of them, they stand daily ministering and offering the same sacrifices, which never take away sin. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he's a priest forever. His work is forever. He sat down on the right hand of God, from his forth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. But with one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. All right. Now then, Hebrews 7, I want to show you four or five things, and I'll let you go to tonight. This is the foundation for the message tonight. Our great high priest, we have a priest. Who is he? Look at Hebrews 7, beginning with verse 16. He's God. who is made not after the law of a carnal ordinance, but after the power of an endless life. That's our high priest. I need to read verse 15. It is yet far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there rises another priest. Verse 16, who is made not after the law of carnal ordinances, but after the power of the endless life. He's God. All right, verse 17. And he's a priest forever. He's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And now verse 21. Those priests were made without an oath. But this priest, with an oath by God, that said to him, the Lord swear and will not repent, you're a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, hold your hand there and look across the page at Hebrews 6, verse 16. Talking about this oath. Christ was made a priest. None of those Old Testament priests were made a priest by an oath by anybody. They put oil on them, but no oath was involved. But Christ, verse 16, men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of strife. Wherein? God, willing more abundantly to show to the heirs of promise, believers, the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, God confirmed it with an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, the Holy of Holies, whither the forerunner for us is entered in, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, with an oath of God. That's your consolation. That's your comfort. This tabernacle here had a sanctuary and a Holy of Holies. That high priest went once a year with the blood, put on mercy seat, came out. Did that for 2,000 years. He came. He didn't go in there. He went there, within the veil. The presence of God with his blood. Forever. Forever. And God swore by himself, because he could swear by no greater, this is my son. That satisfies me. Well, that'd keep me from ever going to anybody down here says he's a priest. Woo, that'd keep me from ever walking into one of those creepy places and some fella sitting behind a veil and me confess my sins. That'd scare me to death. I wouldn't do that for 10,000 worlds, 10 million worlds. I'd be damn your soul. One priest. That's what this book says. Verse 22, by so much was Jesus made a surety. What's a surety? It's a guarantor. When you sign a note as a surety, you're signing guaranteeing that's going to be paid by you. If he doesn't. And I don't. And can you? He did. Surety of a better covenant. All right, verse 24. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. He's heard. He makes intercession. He's heard. God always hears him. He said, Father, I know you always hear me. Such a high priest became us who's holy. A priest doesn't become me who's not holy. He's holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled. Who can get into the Holy of Holies? Nobody else can. Who shall stand in God's presence? He's that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Separate from sinners in his holiness. Higher than the heavens. Higher than the heavens. That's our high priest. Who doesn't need daily as those high priests to offer sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people? This he did once when he offered himself. The law makes men priests who have infirmities. I'm going to close with this. And did for 2,000 years. They anointed these fellas and made them priests without an oath. Without an oath. But when the Lord Jesus Christ, Melchizedek of old, was anointed our priest, God swore it with an oath. But the word of the oath, which was before the law, after the law, when there is no law, makes the Son, who is consecrated forevermore, our great high priest. All right, this is great. This is good. This is essential. This is essential. This is of God. This is talking about my relationship with God. It's not talking about playing church. It's not talking about Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Protestant, Jew, Catholic, all this stuff. Invented names. This is between you and God. You have a high priest. You have a mediator. You have someone between you and God. Somebody's holy, harmless, undefiled, made priest by an oath of God. Who has God's ear, will hear God on your behalf, who really loves you and prays for you and died for you. It's just one. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. That's the difference. That's the difference. What's the difference in this message and some others? That's the difference. It's Christ. Who He is. Who He is. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off your guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. That's what we're going to sing about. 2:23. That's what we've been talking about all this morning. I'm going to talk about it at the end of the night because I love to talk about Him and His sacrifice and priesthood. Good news. Good news. The gospel of this day is not good news. It hinges on too many ifs and ands and buts and perhaps and maybes. And it hinges too much on what you do. My gospel hinges and depends entirely on what He did. 100%. That's so.